Bernard Rosenbaum wrote a book, How to Motivate Today's Workers. And in this book, he cites a study that found that individuals who are told that they are incompetent to achieve a certain goal or a certain task, even though they have no previous experience with that task, will perform worse than those who are told that they are competent to achieve the goals and do the task. The person that's told that they can't do it, there's a good chance that they're not going to do well as a person that believes that they can. This all comes down to confidence. A lack of confidence has a way of paralyzing our lives. It has a way of encouraging us to give up easier on things than we would normally give up on. Worst of all, it can damage our faith. It can cause us to not trust God with the important things. Some of the great leaders in the Bible struggled with confidence. And today we're going to look at one of them, Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. There we go. Gideon led 300 men against Midian and 120,000 men fell that day. We first see Gideon struggling with confidence. Let's look at verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And if we stop there, we might think that Gideon was a very confident, brave person. After all, he's called a mighty warrior. But like most scriptures, we must read on. Verse 13 says, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Israel?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." That really wasn't the response of a warrior. But a man being honest with himself and with God. Verse 14. "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?'" Now, for us to get a context for this, "am I not sending you?" One thing that we probably have to understand is that this is the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, it talks about an angel of the Lord, but when it says the angel of the Lord, there's a really good argument that this is Jesus himself. And Jesus has appeared before Gideon saying, "Am I not with you?" This is the same angel of the Lord, I believe, that was in the burning bush. The same who led Israel. "Am I not with you?" All he does is assure Gideon of his victory. But what is the difference between Gideon the timid and Gideon the man of God? The answer to that question is simply God. He is the difference. The relationship that he has with God either is what is the difference between being timid and being confident. So when we look at this, we have to ask ourselves a question. How does God build confidence in his people? Now, today's sermon, every Sunday, I think it's going to be short and simple, to the point, and it never works out that way. But I'm hoping that this is a very brief, simple sermon. And our points are in your bulletins. We can fill them out as we go. But there are just some simple things that we need to understand about God building confidence in us. Number one, the first thing is he identifies who we are. He called Gideon a mighty warrior. And you know, that's exactly what Gideon needed to hear at this time. The task before him required that he be a brave warrior. A mighty warrior fits the need. But you know, is that something that God calls us today? If we look at John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He calls us friends. In 1 John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we're called friends, we're called children. In Larry's meditation, he brought out the fact that we are called brothers. It's not the act of a warrior that perhaps we need today, but the word of a relationship. Friends, children, brothers. It is just what we need today, because those terms say something very significant that we need. And that is to know that we belong. That we are a part of God's household. That we are a part of what God is doing in the world. We're not outsiders. We're the insiders. It is just what we need today. You belong to God. Number two, the second thing that God does is that he listens to us. Gideon had some big concerns. Why did God allow this to happen? The Midianites were invading Israel, and they were a fierce army. Where were all the wonders that he'd heard about being delivered when his forefathers were brought back from Egypt? Where is God? You know, in every age, men worry about things that are too big for them. Have you ever noticed that? In every age, people worry about the things that are way too big for them. Today, people worry about terrorism. They worry about climate change. No one person can stop that. In Gideon's day, they too had big concerns. You know what their concern back then was? Camels. As worried as we are about terrorism and climate change, Israel was worried about the camel. And the reason that they were worried about the camel is they didn't have any. But the Midianites did. And the Midianites had many, many camels. And those camels allowed them to be fierce in battle in such a way that they were wiping out their enemies. And when the Midianites went into battle with their camels, they left destruction and devastation everywhere they went. Israel was overwhelmed by the Midianites because of the camel. To the Israelites, the invasion of the camels, pretty close to the end of the world in their eyes. And this is why we first see Gideon in a threshing floor, a threshing wheat in a wine press. We see him in a wine press threshing wheat, something that he should be doing out in the open. But the reason he wasn't out in the open is because the Midianites had camels and they can come and take his crop. destroy what he had. In other words, he was hiding in a cave rather than thrashing grain in the open air, hiding from the Midianite raiders, wondering where God is. Why doesn't God do something? Millions of people today to think the same thing. The difference is that Gideon spoke to God about his concern. He opened up his heart to God and let God in. And the Lord listened to him. You notice the Lord did not rebuke Gideon, but he listened to him. And I am convinced that God wants us to know that he listens to his people today. I think Matthew 6, 7 through 9 tells us this. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And he doesn't say in verse 9, then don't pray, you don't need to pray, don't talk to me at all about it. Notice verse 9. This then is how you should pray. God is saying, I know everything there is to know. I know all that you're going to ask. I know all that, but I still want to hear you. I still want you to pray because I am listening. And I believe this is God's way of letting us know he is listening to us. There is a problem when you pray and you do not believe that God is listening. That's a problem. Your prayers are probably not what they ought to be, but also your answers are not going to be what they should be. What did James say about those who pray doubting? Don't think that God is going to answer them. No, we need to know that he's listening to us. And I tell you what, when we know that God is listening to us, that gives us confidence. You know, it's amazing when people say, I'll pray for you. If we really believe them, what they're actually saying is, when I go before the throne of God, I am mentioning your name. I kind of like that. I like people talking about me behind my back when it's the throne of God. I like it when people talk to God about me. It makes me feel good. I hope it makes you feel good because we talk to God about you all the time. Number three, third thing God does is that he answers us, he assures us that he is with us. Not only does he hear us, he assures us that he is with us. The Lord assured Gideon that he was with him. In verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Foolish to think that Gideon was on his own. Yet, we have been given the same promise. In Matthew chapter 28, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. This is after the Great Commission. This is after the resurrection, that Jesus is commissioning his apostles saying, go to all peoples and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And then he makes this statement, and lo, I am with you always to the very ends of the age. Now, why did he say that? I think he said that because making disciples, we need to know that God is with us, that we're not on our own. We're not teaching things of our own ideas. We're not teaching people to obey man's commands. We're teaching them to obey God. And God says, I am going to be with you when you do that. And we need that. We need to know that confidence that God is with us. That gives us big confidence. You know, I imagine David facing Goliath. I wonder what would have happened if David thought, well, I don't know if God is with me. I tell you what, if he thought that, if he questioned whether God was with him, I will guarantee you this, he would have put more in his pocket than five small stones, smooth stones. I think he'd have figured out something else. I think, well, yeah, maybe I will wear this armor. Maybe there is a way that I can run and you know, I don't know what David would have thought. But David knew that God was with him. David knew that as he faced Goliath, that the battle was the Lord's and not his. And isn't that the same kind of attitude? Isn't that the lesson of the story of David and Goliath? Not that God can beat up the big guy, but that anyone can do anything when God is with them. I love that. I love that story. Senator Mark Hatfield tells of a story. He went to Calcutta. Mother Teresa was there, and he visited the so-called House of the Dying. And what this place was these are the children that were left for dead by their families. They were left for dead. They're ill. They're dying. And this House of the Dying was a place where they took in these children. And basically what they did was they cared for these children for their final days. And just about all these children died. And the Senator Hatfield was watching Mother Teresa take care of all these people that were lined up, hundreds of them, needing cared for. And watching her minister to those people, feeding and nursing them, he asked the question. He was overwhelmed by the magnitude of their suffering. He asked this question, how can you bear the load without being crushed by it? Now this lady, she has some of my favorite quotes. I wish I was as wise as she. She said, my dear Senator, I am not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful. I don't know about you, but that strikes home with me. You see, a lot of times we can get so wrapped up into success, into accomplishment, that we forget about faithfulness. It's easy to compare ourselves with other people, but God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to be faithful in what He has given us. Bloom where you're planted. Be the person that God wants you to be here and now. Sometimes our expectations can destroy our confidence. But God knows who we are. God knows what we are doing and what's going on. And God is with us all the way. If that doesn't build confidence in you, nothing will. And the only thing that can stop us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish is ourselves. The only thing that stops us from doing God's will is ourselves, our expectations, our lack of confidence. I don't measure up. And therefore, I believe that's why the Lord requires us to deny ourselves, to set ourselves aside, to set our expectations aside and just be faithful. Do it God's way. He's the one in charge. We're going to sing a decision hymn, I Surrender All. And you know what? I believe that surrendering all is the only way in which we can have confidence in God. Because if we refuse to surrender all, we refuse to trust Him. Let's stand and let's sing.